Hello, everyone. You're listening to Impact 89 FM. My name is Mike Marucci. I am the host of the Afterglow here. I'm also the entertainment editor at the station. And today I am joined by Claire Rousset. Thank you so much for joining me. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, no, thanks for having me.
So you are currently LA based. Are you there right now?
Yeah, I'm here for like another week or so, and then I'm gone for a while, but in LA today.
When you woke up this morning, were there any interesting sounds that you heard today? Anything that really stuck out? Anything that hit you the right way, the wrong way?
What day is it? Yeah, Tuesday. So I was I woke up to the sound of like the people doing landscaping and the apartment complex across the street. It's really loud. So that was not a favorable sound, but other than that, been mostly good, pretty quiet after that.
So what sounds do you think characterize LA best?
Oh God, I'm pretty new here. So I don't know. Traffic probably.
Yeah.
I live in an interesting part of town. It's like very strange. I've never lived in a part of, well, I don't know. It's a part of town with a lot of white people. So it's a little bit different than I'm from Texas in San Antonio, and then I've lived in different neighborhoods outside of that. So I'm not used to all of the chit chat in the neighborhood. But outside of that, I don't know. Lots of traffic, lots of yelling, planes, a lot of planes, sure. Plane sounds, a lot of helicopters.
Gotcha. I mean, I'd say that in Lansing here, which one might call the LA of the Midwest, it's just the sounds of tires hitting potholes. So we're
that's a good sound.
Yeah, we're not too exciting over here. Well, I guess sometimes I don't know. The train will wake you up at 3 a.m. sometimes, so that's always fun too. But I suppose outside of LA, do you have any favorite sounds of all time, least favorite sounds of all time? Just to keep on going into the sound sphere here.
Yeah. I really like radio static. So like on tour and stuff, when you're driving through those areas where like you're not really picking up the same station and it's changing like across the zones. Love tuning the radio, trying to find where the music's actually at. Any kind of water sound. I think that's a favorite among most people, I think, like that's trickling true. Water, rushing water, that kind of thing.
Does your taste for sound change with the seasons, or is that something you just don't keep track of?
Yeah, I don't know. And I haven't really lived in LA that long, but the time I have been here, I'm like kind of thrown off by how little change there is with the seasons. So when I do experience that change, it's like traveling. So like go to like Iceland, like Norway or something. And it's like really cold. And they're like telling me it's their summer. And I'm like freaking out. So my concept of like sound and season is like so blurred at this point.
Gotcha. Well, I guess to get into your record that's coming out in April, Sentiment, coming out April 19th. In a statement to spit your own words back at you, you said that you were basically on a quest to communicate your feelings and your ideas as clearly as possible, and that pop kind of seemed like the right way for you to do that. Are you able to speak further on that, like why you chose pop, or did it just sort of feel right for you?
Yeah, I mean, prior to this, I hadn't really explored like song form in like a public way, at least like releasing a record or anything with like songs on it. So I had been doing like a bunch of other things like ambient music, music with like text, like reading poems over music, stuff like that. Totally instrumental music, but there are like just like certain ideas that I wanted to communicate clearly, and like singing with lyrics and a melody and all of that stuff that comes with songwriting just kind of felt like the right move at this time. Yeah, I had a couple of songs on there. I was like is there a way for me to do this without singing? And it didn't really seem possible. So,
gotcha. You've kind of sort of coined the term emo ambient a little bit. You have the hats with it on there. How does emo ambient play into this record, if at all?
I would call it an emo ambient record. There's some emo influences, some ambient influences, but yeah, I don't know. Just like kind of the earnest, kind of hard on your sleeve stuff that comes with emo music mixed with like ambient aesthetics and like the typical tropes and textures and stuff that you'd hear in that kind of music just meshed together. Mm-hmm. Although there's like some like emo sounding guitars and things like that on this record. So rather than the emo attitude with the ambient sound, this record's more of like a mix of the sounds, which is kind of cool.
Sounds like it's would you say that your emotions are coming through clearer on this album than ever before, or no?
Coming through in a different way, I think. Yeah, like I don't know if it's more clear for me, but it might be more clear for the listener, if that makes sense.
Gosh, yeah. Yeah, I would say so. So you've ever purposefully tried to muddy your feelings in your music in the past or on this record? Or have you always been trying to see clarity through it?
No, I'm usually, yeah, a lot of it's like autobiographical. It's mostly just me. Dates and names are sometimes changed to protect people, but that's pretty much it. It's mostly just me and things that I experience.
So, in the past, you were in a math rock duo. You did a ton of just different instrumentation work. And if I'm not wrong, you were in an evangelical worship band, too. How do you think you got here from working through all that? How did you get to this spot now?
I mean, playing drums primarily up until like 2015 or so, like 15, 16. Played drums like my whole life since I was a kid. And I started playing professionally more or less like around 11, 12 years old. So it was a long time of playing drums and playing other people's music. And it's only been in the last 5 years or so that I've started to kind of play music that's just for me. And I guess the change of instrumentation and tools was like the way that I was able to express myself without other people and without like supporting other people by playing drums. But all of those things kind of, I don't know, there's like an emotional element to math rock music, and there's definitely an emotional and manipulative element to evangelical Christian music. And I do think that there's, you know, influences from those things that have led me here. I love to manipulate the listener in a very neutral use of the term manipulate. Yeah. It's a pretty loaded word, but it doesn't have to be.
It certainly is. Would you say that your evangelical worship band experience plays into your current live sets at all? Does that influence the way that you play or try to captivate the audience?
I definitely think that I interact with the audience more than other artists that I see on shows that I play, like, or festivals or something. Like, I'll play something and I'm really the only one that's kind of gauging the crowd and reacting to what they're doing or how they're reacting to my music and then adjusting accordingly. Like, a lot of people kind of just rehearse the set and play it. Even like in rock music and stuff, like there's so many bands that just like have a set list and play it. And if the audience doesn't like it, then they just have to deal with it. But I'm pretty into like human interaction and kind of like the ebb and flow of social situations. So if people aren't really feeling what I'm doing, I kind of change it up. And I guess because I play by myself so much, I have that flexibility. But going forward, I have a band that I'm touring with. So we'll have a little less flexibility, but they're all really good at improvising. So we should be able to still do that a bit.
Yeah. Since you mentioned your tour, you are going on tour soon, not coming to Michigan, but hey, Chicago's close enough. We'll certainly take that.
Chicago's close. Michigan, yeah. Michigan will be in the fall, I think.
Ooh, I like it. I like that. I would imagine this is probably your vocal, like most vocal heavy tour in a while. Is that true? Mm-hmm. So yeah, how have you been preparing for that?
Oh God. Not at all. not doing much. Honestly, just chilling the fuck out. Mm-hmm. Just hanging out. Yeah. Watching lots of TV. Not talking to anybody.
I can respect that. What are you watching right now?
Oh God. I watched the new True Detective and I heard it's getting flack online, but I thought it was okay. I'd never seen that show House that came out like a long time ago.
Yeah.
I watched that. It's cool. I don't know. Just watching a lot of TV, watching lots of movies and stuff. I don't know. I'm reading a lot of books too. A lot of silent activity, actually. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've been home for a while. A couple shows here and there, but since like November last year, I've just been in LA. And that's like longest I've been home in 2 years, maybe.
Gotcha. So for the tour, do you plan to be reading a bunch of books too while on tour, or do you think I'll just be too exhausted?
I hope that I continue reading. I've read like 21 books this year so far.
Nice.
Favorite,
least favorite?
My favorite is, I set up a whole list on my phone, like a hierarchy. My two favorites this year, Aesthetica by Ali Rowbottom. It's like a kind of like futuristic plastic surgery horror type thing, sex work involved. And then Doppelganger, which is like a Naomi Klein book that's very, very, very good, which got me like diving deep into incel culture because it does address that.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, I hope to continue reading. I have a LA library card, which has the Libby app, which means you can listen to books. And I really like to listen to books on the plane. So I have a lot of like 9 to 12 hour plane rides coming up.
Sounds like the right thing to do then.
It'll be the right thing. Yeah.
Yeah. So I guess to go back into maybe some influences coming up on this album, do you have any specific influences you'd want to cite for this, or were you not really tracking that too much?
I mean, in different ways, like, you know, you say an influence and people are like, oh, it doesn't sound like that record, but you know, that you can pick up different things from different records. It doesn't always have to be like the sound, but that Kevin Drew record called Spirit If, I think it was his first solo record. Kevin from Broken Social Scene had like a solo record in 2007, I think, that came out. It was really, really good. Still is very good. A lot of gross sex stuff on there, which is cool. So that one was a pretty big influence. And it's kind of like ramshackle percussion and like string and brass arrangements, which is also really fun. It's like it feels thrown together, but it's intentional, which is something that I really relate to. Other than that, I'm trying to think of like music I'm into. All of those Pedro the Lion records could be like my emo influence for the record. I don't know. I mostly just listen to my friends' records. My friend Mari has a project called More Ease, which is really good. She played violin on the record like a ton. And my friend Lena Tallgren has a couple projects and has released songs under that name. And they're going to be touring with me playing violin as well. Nice. I've been listening to a lot of their music. Also, Wendy Eisenberg is a really good improviser and guitarist from living in New York now. But yeah, probably others.
Yeah, shout out to the friends. Always mm-hmm. got to support. Mm-hmm. Always got to support. Would you say there are any non-human influences that you'd be able to cite? Just walk around the park, you know, like, how about that?
Yeah, I mean, going to bars by myself is like a huge thing, I think. Like, just watching, people watching. Also, just like the nature of touring. It's like you're always kind of isolated. Even in like really, really human dense spaces like a train station or like a airport or something. So that's kind of like I don't know, so much of this record I feel like was conceived at like an airport bar or like on the train in a country that I don't speak the language and I'm like frantically trying to figure out where my stop's at, trying to get to the show. But yeah, other than that, I don't know. Yeah, like really dense, like social spaces, I think.
Yeah.
Good one.
I said LA bars on their own sound like a lot, but going alone, I feel like. do you have any strange stories from that if you wanted to share?
I'm trying to think. I mean, I don't know. There's a bar by my house that my friend works at and like kind of runs, and it's chill like on the weekends and during the week. I definitely go there and get way too drunk, or I used to. Now I'm chilled out, but during like Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, there's like a whole different crew that works there, and I got the days mixed up. My studio is like in a basement under this bar also, so it's like a little dangerous, but I got the days mixed up or something. I went upstairs to go get a drink and there's like a whole different group of people working, week crew, day crew type people. And they're like, who the fuck are you? And I was like, who the fuck are you? Uh-huh. And then I very passive aggressively / felt obligated to get like one drink. And I sat there and just like silent, super still. And there's the only other people in the restaurant / bar are like this family with a kid, and the kid's like screaming. And I'm just like sitting there as quiet as I can be to be like, maybe they'll not know I'm here. That's kind of like my domestic bar experience. There's a lesbian bar here that just opened up that I liked, but it was like pretty crazy to try to get into the first couple months. I don't know if they're doing so well now, but. At the first couple of months, it was like a big deal. So I was going to that for a while. And it would be so full that they just like give you a bucket of beer and tell you to sit in the parking lot that they shared with like a Baskin Robbins ice cream shop.
So Baskin Robbins so close to a bar. That's both a dangerous mix and I'd say a good one. But
I think it's, good business for both people. But I feel like the stomachs of everybody involved maybe not a good idea.
Yeah, probably need a pretty good maintenance crew for that, I would imagine.
Yeah, a lot of Pepto-Bismol.
Yeah, especially with I guess you won't be in LA for St. Patrick's Day, will you?
No, I will not.
So I'm sure that will be fascinating. I know Lansing always gets very interesting, so
yeah, totally. I feel like certain places get crazier than others, but
yeah,
hopefully I'm somewhere crazy.
Yeah, well, I guess we'll step out of the bars and we will just kind of get into what are the main points you want to be brought through on this record, if they're even points, maybe just main feelings you'd want people to come away with when they listen to Sentiment for the first time.
I mean, what I was feeling when making it and what I guess I feel when listening to it, it's kind of like a sense of loneliness and like kind of grappling with how I don't know, isolating and sad life can be. Not that that's like a really enticing way to like get somebody to listen to a record, but maybe that would resonate with somebody and they'd feel less alone.
Yes.
That then somebody else would be going through that as well. But other than that, I don't know. I think like listening to your surroundings is a big one too. There's a lot of field recording on it too, much less than like previous works of mine. I used to work with field recording way more than I do now. But there's still a ton of it on there. And I also think there's like an amateur quality to a lot of what I'm doing. Like I learned guitar to play that record and learned how to write for like strings and stuff like that for some of the parts on the record and learning a little bit more about the classical world. So just knowing that if you have a sound in your head, there is a way to be able to learn how to communicate that with other people and get it down to like a recording or a performance or something. It's not impossible. You can literally do anything with the internet and YouTube and like a couple friends who are willing.
Yeah. That's a lovely message to get from it. So I think I do just have one more question to ask for you. So professionally or personally, is there anything that you're looking forward to for the rest of this year, maybe aside from the tour, unless you're dreading the tour secretly? I don't know.
No, I think the tour is going to be good. I guess like two parts to the answer. It's like the tour is going to be really good. On the album cover, there's this bedroom that I like fabricated in my studio. I have like a art/music studio that I work in. And I built a fake bedroom in it to do the photos for the cover. And we're rebuilding that bedroom on stage every night for the performances. So that'll be really cool. I'm really looking forward to that. Personally, I'm trying to think. I don't know. It's hard to separate like life and work, I guess. But
like especially for musicians and artists in general. Yeah.
My partner's graduating from grad, like doing a grad school graduation type thing, getting a master's degree. So I'm playing a show in Chicago, flying home to go to the graduation ceremony and then flying to New York right after that. So I'm looking forward to seeing somebody I care about accomplish something so big. I like quit high school. So I'm like, it's cool to see somebody be like, I'm gonna get this crazy degree and spend so much time in school. So that's, I guess I'm looking forward to that personally.
Yeah. Well, I give my congratulations. It is definitely a big thing. I remember my mom's master's graduation. I was like, let's go.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
My mom got her master's degree too recently. And I'm like, oh my God, mom, I'm so proud of you.
I said, we were talking about libraries earlier. My mom got in library science. So it's like,
amazing.
Yeah. So yeah, I guess shout out to my mom at the end. Sorry to steal your thunder in the interview by tossing
Shout out to your mom. Shout out to my mom, all moms.
Yeah. Shout out to moms. It is Women's History Month. Mm-hmm. So there we go.
Perfect. We got it.
Tying all the threads together. Well, once again, thank you very much for joining me. Claire Rousset, Sentiment, new record coming out April 19th. 2024, the year we are currently in. So just once again, thank you for joining me.
Yeah, thank you.
You just heard our interview with Claire Rousset here on Impact 89 FM. And if you want to check out Claire's music, you can do so on all streaming services, but I highly recommend going over to her Bandcamp. You can listen to her album on April 19th, Sentient. Once again, that is Sentient, coming out April 19th. Just want to thank you all so much for listening. This is DJ Mike signing off.